Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 25. Rajas tamas cha sattvena,
Rajas tamas cha sattvena,
Sattvam chupashvamena cha,
Sattvam chupashvamena cha,
Etat sarvam guru bhaktya,
Etat sarvam guru bhaktya,
Purushoyam jasajaye,
Purushoyam jasajaye.
Translation. One must conquer the mode of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness, and then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddha-sattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. Purport. Just by treating the root cause of an ailment, one can conquer all bodily pains and sufferings. Similarly, if one is devoted and faithful to the spiritual master, he can conquer the influence of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun very easily. Yogis and jnanis practice in many ways to conquer the senses, but the bhakta immediately attains the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of the spiritual master. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. If the spiritual master is favorably inclined, one naturally receives the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one immediately becomes transcendental, conquering all the influence of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun within this material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunam samatityaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. If one is a pure devotee, acting under the direction of the Guru, one easily gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord and thus becomes immediately situated on the transcendental platform. This is explained in the next verse. Om Gyanati Varanasya Gyanvarasalakya Chakshu Minitanya Tasmai Si Gurve Namah Si Chaitanya Manavastam Svapitam Yenutale Swayam Rupa Karame Rahi Svapadantikam Mukham Kuruti Vachanam Pangam Langaiti Grim Yat Kripatamam Vadesi Grum Dinatarinam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The lower modes of material nature are particularly entangling us more and more in the material energy. It is said that the mode of ignorance are those kind of activities which are detrimental to a person's progress. Activities of laziness, eating things that are unedible, sleeping more than required, dreaming, illusion, madness, lack of cleanliness, dishonesty, anger, these are all symptoms of ignorance. So, tamagun in that way is damaging. Rajagun is the state where we are always eager to enjoy. We're always eager to manipulate things for our enjoyment. This is rajas. So one should not think that to be very active is rajas. One should not think. When one is very active in devotional service, then one should think, hey, why are you so passionate? And that's not passionate. Passion means that we have this desire to enjoy. To be active in devotional service is actually very favorable. And to be eager and alert to serve and to take every opportunity is exactly what we require. Not that we become so much in goodness and say, well, this service is too passionate for me. Too passionate. No, that is actually passion. Yeah, that is passion, because then we want to enjoy the service. I enjoy this type of service, but not that type of service. No, service means as is required. That is service. So the mode of goodness means that we are simply prepared to be humble, to be an instrument, and to be a servant in the real sense, and to work for the benefit of Krishna, his mission, his Vaishnavas, and so on. Then gradually one can reach Visuddhasattva. Visuddhasattva, the stage where one is not interested in any personal form of enjoyment. But one naturally becomes peaceful. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, is described as the embodiment of that state of pure goodness. Sometimes the state of Vasudeva is synonymous with pure goodness. It is said from the consciousness of pure goodness of Vasudeva, Krishna manifested himself in that consciousness. So this is the importance, is that when the heart has become purified, then Krishna can enter. Then Krishna can be seated within the heart. And then one can live in that worship, in that service of Krishna all the time. Then our chanting also becomes an enlivening experience instead of a struggle. Somehow or other, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is describing how to engage the senses in the service of Krishna. It is simply that we are here bound and limited by the senses. All our perception is now taking place through the senses. Otherwise, what do we know? What you don't see, you don't know. What you can't smell, it's not there. What you can't hear, doesn't exist. So many things are there beyond our sensual perception that are not within the realm of our reality. So Krishna is also not within the realm of our reality. Then through hearing, Krishna becomes a little bit more real to us, a little more a possibility. Because it's not that, how are we going to convince people about Krishna? I think sometimes we make it too difficult. We think that people will not be attracted to Krishna, and that is not a fact. Krishna is all attractive. He really is attractive. So it's not that, how are we going to convince people about Krishna consciousness, and should we maybe disguise it this way, that way? Apparently such a disguise is efficient, seems to produce results. Yes, we can talk to football players about football and to saxophone players about sex. But whatever may inspire them, but the point is that with that we won't capture them very deep nor very long, because the mind is restless, very restless. Chant chant man himana Krishna. The mind is going from here to there and everywhere, constantly, and that is the material consciousness. Bahu sake inantascha, many branched, everywhere. This is the nature of the material consciousness, that while we are
enjoying one thing, we're still looking at another thing.
The example of the boy with the girlfriend on the hand and walking, you know, in the street, and both are looking at others, although they're hand in hand, but they're looking at others. So still not satisfied. Bahusaki natascha. But we hold on. Said, like, well, I have something good. Okay, I'll keep that. But still, what else is there? The radar is just constantly checking. What else is there? Okay, that's good. I'll have that also. Yes, keep it. But I'm still watching. Is there more? And therefore, the things we are having, we are not even having a very deep experience of them, the objects for our enjoyment. That is material relationship. Therefore, if we try to impress people with a material presentation, we may capture their mind for a little while, and then they'll go somewhere else. Because that is what is the normal approach to material presentations. Therefore, actually, we can try to speak about Krishna. There's nothing wrong in speaking about Krishna to anyone and everyone in any time, place, and circumstance, right? Just about Krishna. No need to speak about yoga, no need to speak about meditation, no need to speak about rubbish, or no need. Actually, all we need to do is speak about Krishna. The only question is how to speak about Krishna. And that is the art. How to speak about Krishna. Well, there is certainly something we can find in Krishna. There are logical things that can be said. We don't need to. We can say spiritual reality. You don't need to say God, you don't need to say religious, because those are words people may be allergic to. Since that has been rammed down the throat. There are allergies, that is a fact. But one can explain that everything is spiritual in origin. Therefore, by looking at this world, we can also understand more about dimensions that we cannot see. Then we can understand when there's personality here, there's personality there. Therefore, on the spiritual platform, there is personality as well as energy. So this point has been made by Srila Prabhupada again and again, and that there's personality in the absolute truth. Yes. Because there's personality here, so how can there not be personality there? There's personality in us. So spiritual life or the spiritual platform is not a process of self-denial. See, if it would be a process of self-denial, then it would be it would be something we would have doubts about. But spiritual self-realization is a platform where you use all the potential that we have, as simple as that. And that is there in the personality. We have personality. Yes, so not that we give up our personality, we develop our personality. But also seeing that we are connected to all the other energy in this world, and that it's all part of the same thing. So, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, simultaneously one and many. That is ultimately what we have to present. The words that we use, you can say spiritual, you can say self-realization, or you can say God or faith, you know what I mean? You can use such words, but if you do, some people will immediately call out, hallelujah, hallelujah, here we go again. Yeah. So whatever it may be, strategies in presentation can be there, but if substance is not there, then what is the meaning? Because it is about the personality. And the personality of Krishna is attractive. I have my story about the Harinam party, which we started in Amsterdam. And it was summertime, and there was a street artist who had drawn a picture of God on the street with chalk. Michelangelo's God sitting on the cloud. Stern face and finger pointing down, waiting to catch the sinner. We started hurrying on. After about 5 minutes, someone spit on the ground in front of us. Poof. Intense today. And then later on, the seat of a toilet flew out of a window. The whole seat of the toilet flew out of the window. It missed us and landed on the head of someone else. Anyway, we moved on, wondering what would come next, you know. I mean, that person being in that room to rip the toilet seat off the toilet, what was he going to do next? So we carried on, and it was weird. But there were many people who were happy, and they danced, and they liked the kirtan. It was fine. Yeah, but all right, there were these strong reactions that day as well. So we did a full circle and we came back to the starting point. And when I saw the picture of God, I thought, no wonder that people are upset and that they throw things at us and spit and so on. No wonder. And look at him, you know. I mean, such a heavy personality. So that's not Krishna. Krishna is kind. Krishna is merciful. Krishna is not old. Krishna is not dry. It's not. Krishna is not telling us sit still and pray all day. Krishna is telling us sing, dance. Krishna is not telling us eat a dry crust of bread. Krishna is telling us eat nice things. So the more we actually describe the spiritual platform, then the allergies can also disappear. You know? And can actually see, well, it's not so bad after all. Right? Yeah, you know. Just like another story I have is they had school classes that were coming to the temple for an introductory year, and they visit all kinds of places and also the Hare Krishna temple. So they asked me to give the talk, and then when the class came, it was a class of all 13-year-old girls, you know, which is not easy to deal with. It's not like an easy group to deal with. So, you know, okay, I could see restless minds. So I gave like a 5-minute introduction and said, like, well, do you have any questions? You know, one girl immediately, you know, do you ever go to a discotheque? Yeah. Now, this was a very important question, you know, this was like the crucial question. If I would say no, that meant I'm a total square. Yeah? And then I'm like, it's not even worth to be, like, you know, listened to or considered. I knew, you know. I mean, I can't say no to this question. I said, but I'm not going to discotheque, so what do I do, you know? I was like, really caught in a big dilemma right there. But then I said, no, actually, I don't go to discotheques because we have a party here. Okay, that was the right word, party, okay. Oh, really? So yeah, we have a party every day. We start at 4:30 in the morning. So, wow, really?
That's amazing. Yeah, we go the whole day. Party in the morning, party in the evening. Hey, I mean, my audience was into it. Cool, man. This is good. So, all right. One has to maybe find that little bit of interest in a person. Prabhupada called it find the spark and fan it. Yeah? Well, there is whatever sparks some interest, find it and fan it. When someone wanted, oh, the Sanskrit, very interesting, Prabhupada became a Sanskrit teacher. 3 days later, all the Sanskrit was too much trouble. Prabhupada stopped being a Sanskrit teacher. Mukunda into drumming, and Prabhupada taught him how to play mridanga. Slow down, do it properly, he said. And then gradually, he got it. And then he was playing. And then Prabhupada was listening. And Prabhupada was smiling. And Mukunda saw. Mukunda was a musician, piano player. And Mukunda said, I had had many music teachers, but I never had one who actually enjoyed my playing. And that's like, yeah, you teach someone, it gets beginners, you know, like kind of playing. Okay, you know, keep on practicing and eventually, you know, you'll get there one day. But no, that was not the mood. The mood was, oh, nice. So we could appreciate that. Anyway, fend the spark is the principle. That is simply the principle. That was Prabhupada's approach. Prabhupada was a communications nightmare. Right? Prabhupada was the one who would say the things you're not supposed to say. Right? Exactly that. He would go right there to the sore point and just like get into it. And sometimes people didn't like, and he didn't care also. He didn't care. So I don't say that anyone and everyone can preach like Prabhupada, because one has to have purity. One has to have purity. And then one can say anything and still will convince, because people can see this man is real. He's real. Like in Amsterdam, Prabhupada was... there was the installation of the deities and it didn't go proper, and Prabhupada was angry. He was upset because everything was wrong for the deities. It was not right. And the TV was there and Prabhupada didn't care. He didn't smile at the camera. He was angry because the deities were not taken care of. You know, it was not proper. At one point there was supposed to be a yagya, and where are the fruits? There have to be fruits. One Mataji went into the kitchen and she didn't come back. Prabhupada sent a person after her and that person also didn't come back. So then that really gets somebody going. If you send somebody after somebody and they still don't come back, then you get really agitated. So Prabhupada's getting agitated. Finally they come back with the fruits, and what happened is they cut it up into a fruit salad. Right? For a yagya, you need whole fruits to put around the pit for decoration. They come with fruit salad. I was looking at them like angry and disgusted. And I was like, this is useless. Mataji crying. And Prabhupada didn't care. He didn't become soft. No, useless. But the amazing thing was that several people that day who were guests were so impressed that he was not trying to hold up a show for the audience, you know, and cater to the audience, but that he was actually caring for the deities, caring for Krishna, and therefore people joined. Two people joined because of his anger. They both said, yes, it impressed me that he was so angry. And they joined because of him. So that is really that is the key. The key is that we are simply to describe Krishna and simply to serve Krishna, and people will come. We just describe the qualities of Krishna. We just describe the mercy that is involved. We can describe the impersonalism. Alright, you know, give up your personality. Give up thinking, feeling, and willing. No more feelings. Sorry. You know, how do you feel? And we're doing dear everyone, we are doing impersonal meditation today. Have a good feel, you know, because this is the last time you're going to do it. Once, you know, we are going to get the realization, you will never feel again.
How do you feel about that?
It's ridiculous, yeah? If you think about it. People can understand it. They're not so stupid, you know.
But the people have no brain. They will never understand this, you know what I mean?
They do. They do, if we explain. So, simply if we explain ourselves better. But if we say, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and there are and spiritual life is full of many rules and regulations. And you know, I mean, and we start hammering immediately, you know, like, no illicit sex, no illicit sex. What is illicit sex anyway? I mean, you know, only sex within marriage, only within marriage, and then only once a month. Then everyone thinks these people are from the moon. It's not about that. That's not in the front. That's not in the front at all. It's also not in the front in our life. If that's in the front in our spiritual life, then how can you live a spiritual life? Hare Krishna, no sex. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. No sex. Hare Krishna, no sex. Hare Krishna, Krishna. No sex. No sex. No sex. No, no, no. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Sex, sex. No, no. Hare Krishna, no sex. No sex. No, no. I mean, it's if we think like that all day and think like, I mean, this is too much. I mean, I can't do this. This is not real. It's all about yes. It's about what is yes. It is about yes, wonderful Krishna. Yes, selfless service makes you feel really good. Yes, Krishna's qualities. Yes, yeah. It's all about what is good. Yes, great prasada. Yes, Faram Kirtan. Yes. Yeah. And then in the end, you know, so much taste. Oh, and by the way, sex, yeah, you know, I mean, just forget it, you know, I'm not going to bother with that. Yeah. That comes second. Yeah. So in our preaching also, same thing, it comes for ourselves second. What comes is to explore the higher taste in Krishna consciousness. Even from the beginning, from the very beginning, it's the taste, everyone. So that is how we rise above the modes of material nature, just to... We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and not the International Society for Rules and Regulations. So if we, in the course of our preaching, immediately hit people over the head with lots of rules, yes, then people will run away. In the beginning, in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, the Hare Krishna movement was very popular among the hippies. In fact, the Hare Krishna movement was all part of the new development. If you read, you know, the early pastimes of the devotees, then you can read that Even when the devotees, they went to London, and then after a little while, there was a leader of the Hell's Angels from San Francisco who came to London and came to visit them. And now we may think, Hell's Angels? Hare Krishna? I mean, isn't that like two ends of the scale? You know, isn't like Hare Krishna all about, you know, being holy, and is Hell's Angels all about being demoniac, right? Isn't that like outright the opposite? Now it may be, but it wasn't in that time. It wasn't in the 60s. Because in the 60s it was all a manifestation of looking for a new way, a new expression. Yeah? So in this way, like George Harrison was into Hare Krishna, but he was also interested in the Hell's Angels because they were also far out guys. They were also like different. Yeah? And so it was like a whole landscape of people exploring new states of consciousness, new ways of life. You know, it's like, be creative. Don't just be stereotype. You know, drop out. Don't be part of the establishment. That was the consciousness. So Hare Krishna was very much part of the new age development. You know, this is the age of Aquarius. The musical hair. Hare Krishna was in it, was part of it. It was completely accepted as part of the scene. Where did Hare Krishna fall out of the boat? Hare Krishna fell out of the boat when Hare Krishna was condemning others. And when Hare Krishna raised the finger and said, these are not good, those are not good. And when Hare Krishna said, this is not good, and that is not good. And then people just immediately lost it. So we don't need to say that it is not good. We just need to show that it is not good. And like, I don't have to moralistically say, you know, drinking is such a bad thing, you know what I mean? Oh God, I'll be drinking, you know? I mean, that's so terrible. Do you realize that it is a great sin? A sin. Give us a break. Yes, Daddy, it's a great sin, you know. That's right, you know, it sort of brings it out of you, no? But if you just like describe that you know, that Saturday night on the way home, you have to embrace trees, you fall into the house with the front door, and then when you get to bed, the bed starts spinning and you have a bucket, you know. And the next morning, the whole room smells like the sour smell of vomit when you wake up with a nail in your head, you know, right? Then, you know, you just wonder. Or you wake up in the morning next to a total stranger and think, where did I meet this person? And, you know, and then God knows what else, right? And then, you know, that over 6 million people in South Africa are HIV positive. Well, you know, that's quite a large number, actually. Over 6 million. It's a good number.
Over 40.
It's a decent number, isn't it? So then we don't have to say anything about what is good and what is bad. It's let it speak for itself. Let everything speak for itself without any the moralistic little finger, or acting shocked, you know. Oh, we're so shocked. They're drinking, you know. Look, you know, it ain't that long ago, baby. It ain't that long ago that we ourselves were washing it down. So let's we can be straightforward. We just should avoid being moralistic. Nobody likes that. Like that. But let Krishna speak for himself. Like the Bhagavad Gita. It makes sense. It's not like, how are we... Like you have the three modes of material nature. The three modes of material nature, it makes sense. It's obvious that if you eat things that are old and stale, or something from the wall, you know, you go to some place, you throw a coin, you pull a little window, you just... You know. And obviously, you know, the bag has more nutrition than the stuff inside, you know, the box, right? It speaks for itself. I mean, a lot of people can figure that out. Yeah. And a lot of people out there, they know, right? They're burning themselves out. When you live on the wild side, right? You know you're doing it. And you know, and you're wondering, how long can I keep on doing this? You know, you know it very well. You know, you're sort of, should really get out of there. Maybe I should get out of there. And if somebody comes and tells you, like, you know, it's like, get out of here, you might even do it. Yeah? Srivas Thakur, to keep it within the realm of Krishna consciousness, Srivas Thakur is an interesting personality because he's Narada Muni, actually. But then he appears in this world as Srivas, and in the early part of his life, Srivas was a typical party man, you know, living the party life. Right? And just one day, Srivas heard that if he would go on like this, he just heard actually a prediction that he would die within 1 year. And the prediction seemed really from a renowned astrologer, so it seemed right. Then he got shocked and scared. Then he changed. So people just, when they hear things straight, many times is exactly what we need. So to be wishy-washy, is not the example of our acharyas, who were actually very successful in increasing Krishna consciousness. Okay, thanks a lot. I'm rebelling today. Because I have to speak about yoga and meditation. And I hate yoga. And I hate meditation. Now you know. Any questions or comments?
We had one experience recently. One lady was very interested coming around. And she said she also go to India, and she said she's reading the Bhagavad Gita. So she came for the spirit matters, and we had some kirtan, and she really liked it. The next day, she came to Sunday class, and then the class was like that kind of mood, religion, God, whatever. We didn't see her anymore. And in fact, she SMS her to do that, you know, it was a bit too much or something like that. So we don't know what will happen, but yeah, Maharaj is right that sometimes we have to choose the words and present, although we don't hide the truth.
Yeah, you can. My point is we can speak about Krishna without just describing his qualities. And let him attract. Let him attract people.
Maybe the question is, do we really understand Krishna? That's
we just repeat the nectar of devotion, just the qualities of Krishna.
Describe a few, take a couple. You don't have to understand, just speak on them. But if you speak about sin, the word sin is a little heavy for people. Yeah. I don't know, in South Africa the word God, maybe you can say it. In where I'm from, in the Netherlands, you don't. You know, you just speak about the G-O-D phenomenon.
Once, recently, just kind of seeing all time, place and circumstance, so very different. Recently one devotee from Hungary approached me in Vrindavan, I was governor, and that's just around the time when they started having problems before that, he said to me, you know, how do you preach to the students and all that? So I was explaining to him that.
Preach?
Yeah, how do we speak to the students? How do we teach Krishna consciousness to the students? Even the word preach is dirty. it's become a dirty word. So I told him, look, we kind of know the mentality of people is changing. Nobody's interested in organized religion, God, this, that, whatever. So I told him, we say the supreme conscious being Krishna, this, that. We present things like this. And then this devotee got like distance. I could see that something registered in his mind. He became a little unresponsive. And then later he said he'll email me, but then later he didn't email. And then I understood when they had this issue in Hungary that they were trying to target ISKCON as a business, that they are not religion or whatever, something like that. So I understood that his worldview was completely different, because for them they wanted to establish themselves as religion, as God, as well. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, sharing things that would not work for him.
Yeah.
So that place and circumstance.
Definitely. That's right. But the substance is the substance.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we have to let Krishna do the work, rather than us, you know. And Krishna, we're never going to convince people. As I said, my earlier point was that we can superficially attract people, but the mind is restless and we won't capture their attention for long, you know. It's like for example, you know, like I just earlier said, I hate yoga, I hate meditation. I don't hate yoga, I don't hate meditation if I can give my definition of it. Yeah. Like last night in Stellenbosch, I gave my definition of yoga. Right? Okay, if I give my definition of yoga, then it's okay, because then it goes deeper and deeper. But the connotation of yoga is, you know, touch your toes with the tip of your nose, right? And things like that. Physical exercise, and maybe a little bit of stress relief. And then I feel like, that's very shallow. That really like doesn't go far enough. So yoga has a much broader context. Meditation, when I am going to present the chanting of the Maha Mantra as meditation, then people have like a whole preconceived idea about meditation. Oh, it's about, you know, so, as soon as, and they don't even hear. They don't hear. You know, they just hear what they themselves associate with the word meditation. So if I say the word meditation, immediately, you know, some people don't hear a word after that. There's all meditation. Oh yeah, yeah, I know that. You know, it's about making the mind empty. This, that, and if somewhere I say something that seems to confirm that idea, yeah, 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 and the rest they won't hear. That's why it's sometimes dangerous to use such terms that are more acceptable, but that have so many preconceived ideas. Yeah. We can start with that, but then we have to bring Krishna in the picture. Otherwise, where's it going to go? Nowhere. It will just stay in like cloudy, foggy, vague, and unclear, and it will just go on the pile of so many other things.
you know, because there's a lot of this kind of mystical, misty spirituality out there. You know, it's spiritual and it's mystical and misty and vague and undefined, and you just sort of, you know, yeah, no commitment, it's vague, no commitment, you just sort of plug in a bit and you plug out as you like, and, you know, you add it to your life and it's a nice spice to life. That's not us, we are a revolution. We are a total revolution. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, a total revolution.
Even better than the so-called revolutions.
Yeah. Anyone?
I just wanted to ask, sometimes what I find from speaking to people about the movement, the Hare Krishna movement and what I'm trying to get involved in, if they maybe have some idea already of the movement, or they've seen some pictures of Krishna, they challenge and they question the personal form, the figure, you know, that's very young. It's like, and I mean, I find it really difficult to explain that, because then they kind of go like, you know, how can that be God? Like, why does God look like that? How can you claim that he's a little blue boy? And, yeah. You know, so that's quite a difficult challenge that I find, is kind of when they're not at all at that kind of consciousness that you can't present Krishna
sure,
in that way.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, like you don't, first of all, the little blue boy, right? Don't buy into that picture. It's like he's like, you know, some art, this is an artist conception, you know what I'm saying? If you look in the Vedic scripture, then it says that the Supreme has both a personal feature and an impersonal feature of energy, of all-pervading energy, both. Right? Not one or the other, but both. And it says that personal form is like a very effulgent form, a form like emanating effulgence, with a complexion compared to a darkish, bluish rain cloud, like you see sometimes in the sky. It already sounds a lot better than the picture of the dark blue boy, of the blue boy, you know what I mean? And that he is young, right? Well, yes, Vedic scriptures describe him as young, right? Because, and describing at the same time as the oldest. It is said, Ajam Purana, Noviyoganamascha, he is the oldest and the youngest at the same time. He's the original person, so he's the oldest person. He must be. He's the origin of everything. He must be. But at the same time, he's not bound by the laws of material nature. Old age, wear and tear, is a limitation that exists in matter. Spirit is not limited by wear and tear. You know? So it's like old, and the body begins to crumble and rot, right? And the teeth disappear and the nose and chin grow together. That is a punishment, that is suffering. And we suffer. When you get old, you suffer. Run out of breath. Get up, all the joints ache, you know? Arthritis, rheumatism, and there's God, you know. Oh, God. God got up with a sour face, and because of his arthritis, and everything, in a mean mood, and everybody's got a thunderbolt, and he's ready to throw it on someone's head. No, what a materialistic projection. We're talking about a sublime world, a sublime personality. So it just takes a little more explanation to take it away from the, is that your God, a blue boy? No. You think he's a blue boy, yeah? But what we're speaking about, yeah, is the person who's ever fresh, ever young, and yet the oldest, who's effulgent. You see how my explanations maybe can make it suddenly more acceptable. They say, well, I can't believe in that. That's okay. But then what can you believe in? That he's only impersonal? But then that he's only an all-pervading energy? And then you're limiting him. Then you say that we can have personality and God cannot. We have more than God. So how can we have more than God? So how can you deny personality? The personality cannot be denied because it's here in us. So if we have more than God, where does that come from? You see, everything that's here has its origin in, as a divine origin. Then we see personality everywhere. So there's no personality in the origin of us. Something wrong in the ontological understanding. If I throw a few words like ontological understanding, suddenly people get on board. Okay, it's not just all about a blue boy. Hare Krishna, and God is a blue boy, and we wear the bed sheets. And that sounds like we're a bunch of dodos without any brains, and without any philosophy, and just sort of like a fairy tale type, a Peter Pan type of God, you know. My God is Peter Pan. Yeah. Is that what you think? Yeah. Give us a break. Yeah. So we have to explain. You can explain.
Is it bona fide then to say that the pictures which they see of Krishna are an artist's rendition?
They're artists. Maybe some are perfect. Maybe some of these artists are... They're the artist's rendition. Some, how transcendental these artists are, how much they actually see, and how much they are just painting a picture in their mind. Depends on the artist. Many of these paintings are obviously not revelations. It's not like that the artist is looking in the spiritual world. You know, like many of our ISKCON paintings, the artist, for a while had a school in Italy, where they were all together and they're studying Italian art because it's voluptuous and kind of like, you know, little angels and nicely round little young boys, you know, and all that. Nice forms, right? And then they use these Italian paintings and turn them into cover boys. Yeah. I think they're artists, right? They can only draw so much. We're musicians, you know, how much can we play? Yeah? How much can you get out of the fingers? So yes, it's not that all these paintings necessarily that Krishna looks exactly like the picture. It doesn't. But Krishna manifests himself in the picture. So the picture, it works transcendental. You know, you're in one temple and the deity of Krishna is black. Right? You go to the next and you know, he looks sort of round face. You go in another temple and the deity of Krishna is also black, but the face is more slim. Which one is Krishna? You know, is his face round? In another temple, Krishna is white. You know, is he black? Is he white? The artist concept. One car, another one is made of brass, golden. What does he look like? All of these things. Because he manifests through these things. But the day you see Krishna in the spiritual world, yeah, he may look a little different than on that picture. And the color of Krishna is not blue. The color of Krishna is Shyam. Shyam. And Shyam is blackish, bluish, because
If you get in the rainy season, you get a rain cloud. And just before the rainy season, it's hot season and the sun is extremely bright, extremely bright. The effulgence is just, you can hardly see. Then the cloud comes in front of the sun, and because of the bright light, it takes on the bluish, some bluish reflection of the sky. And the two combine into a color called Shyam. That is the color. So it's about effulgence. And isn't that the same? Therefore, sometimes say he's white, because the effulgence is so bright. It's like white. Sometimes say he's black, sometimes say he's white. Yeah? And so bright. And that's what you get, you know. And some see only the white light. It's so bright. But the Upanishads say that behind the white light is the personal face. See, it all ends up together. And in the Old Testament, it also describes how God is like, his personal feature is extremely effulgent. He's whitish and very effulgent. All the same, all connects. Oh, just see.
One question, Raj. Some so-called impersonalists told me once that how do you know that there is personality in the absolute? Because the personality here is just an illusion.
Yeah, but then, you know, if it's all illusion, then what is the point of all this illusion? Right? Why is God an illusion? That is the fundamental question for him. Answer that then. Why is he an illusion? You know? And then he will say, Lila, at best, right? His pastime. Why? What is the pastime? Concentration camps, right? Holocaust, right? What is the pastime? You know? Yeah, hospitals. Come and enjoy the pastime with me then, and I'll give you a tour of like, of a South African hospital if you want to see. Huh? Come with me. And what kind of pastime is this? Yeah. So that's like a very poor. There is no meaning to your saying it's a lila. It's a, because lila is based on enjoying. God is enjoying. What's he enjoying? He's enjoying that you and I suffer. What does that make him? You know, then should I paint a picture of God with Gestapo boots on? You know, like, so there's something lacking in this, it's not satisfying the heart, you know. Therefore your philosophy is dry, it doesn't touch the heart.
It's illogical.
It's incomplete, yeah. You have no, you call it lila, but you have no support for it.
Explain how it is.
Yeah, you call it lila, but you have no supporting arguments that kind of that make it a coherent picture. Whereas when we present to you Krishna, it's all a coherent picture, and everything is logical. He's young. Why would he be old? what's the benefit of being old? If you were almighty. Would you be like this? If I was almighty, I would make a few adjustments in the appearance. I mean, you know. I could think of a few things I would change. Yeah. If you were God, would you change a few things? So we have personality, he has personality. The personality is not an illusion, it's just that it needs to be purified. There is pure personality. Okay, yeah, last.
This Maharaj, you mentioned that, you know, like, we are not satisfied with what we have. Like, you give an example of boyfriend and girlfriend. On the street, they look at other things, they don't look at themselves. So, how can you focus to the sound that you love? Like when I chant, you know, yes, I can think of Krishna maybe 3 or 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
In the other minute, I think of another thing.
Yeah. So in the beginning, spiritual things are just the same, like all other material things. We cannot focus on it very long. Yeah? Same. You know, I play for a little while with my tape recorder, then I'm going to play with my computer, then I go play with my drum, then I go play with something else. Material things, I change. Then I take the spiritual things, I also change. But after a while, the spiritual things begin to capture us. Like you can see, you know, like how devotees have been around for a long time, they can sit and chant kirtan for a long time, and like, you know, the guests on the Sunday feast are like, oh, Hare Krishna, how long is this going to go on for? When are we going to eat? Yeah. So one develops a taste. So taste comes in devotional service. And then, so after some time, you begin to see the difference. You begin to see, like, yes, we get absorbed and we can stay absorbed. You know, like at one point, in the beginning it may be you like drums, right? But then after a while you like drumming for Krishna, and then, you know, it transcends and it becomes kirtan. Then you don't like ordinary drumming anymore, then you only want to drum for Krishna.
Yeah.
It gets like that. So once the Krishna element becomes part of it, you get a taste and it stays. It has that. It captures after a while. That's why devotees go on. Otherwise, you know, how can people do this for their whole life? No illicit sex. Be real. No gambling. Oh, come on, you know. Can't even, like, not even in Dubai on the lottery for that for that fancy car. Come on. Can I buy a ticket? No. You know. No intoxication, not even tea. I can't. Tea, you know, even babies drink tea. Give us a break. No meat eating, is it realistic? You know, my mom, you know, has cooked this. Am I supposed to tell her, no, I don't eat your cooking? It breaks her heart. You have to, can I be that cruel? No, Mom. Not a bite. Cruel. Can you live like that for my whole life? Yes, we can, because we get a taste. Okay. Thank you. See the power of the key.